Chapter 24. The Search.
In the previous chapter, Samuel discussed the time Jesus and his disciples were on the Sea of Galilee during a raging storm. In this chapter, we visit another boat, one filled with similar hopelessness and fear. Jim and Paul have spent hours combing the coast, retracing the boys' float plan again and again, yet they have found nothing. Jim grips the wheel with rigid intensity while Paul scans the horizon from the bow, searching the restless water for any sign of the missing boys. Paul finally asks Jim to slow the boat. His anxiety has become too heavy to contain. Looking out over the empty bay, he begins listing the visible facts. They have searched the float plan 3 times but have found nothing. The boys are only children. They were not prepared to be gone this long. If they've reached land, no one has heard from them. If they are still at sea, they could be far beyond the search area. Paul calls this being realistic, but his realism is beginning to collapse into despair. The visible evidence is persuading him that their search may be useless.
Jim pushes back, but his response should not be mistaken for settled faith. He speaks steadier words than Paul, and insists that there is always hope, but the chapter does not present him as a man resting in quiet assurance. His hands have been gripping the wheel with relentless intensity, and his final prayer reveals the uncertainty still pressing inside him. Jim is able to offer verbal encouragement, but this is not the same thing as being inwardly persuaded of the truth.
Jim's words are not wrong. He says that God either has the boys or he does not, and that their fates and everyone else's are in his hands. He also says their hope is not in the boys' quick thinking, their provisions, or the Coast Guard's technology, but in God. These statements are true. Yet the chapter's final line keeps the reader from turning Jim into the picture of perfect faith. When he whispers, "Lord, don't make a liar out of me," we see that he is not simply resting in settled persuasion. He has spoken what he knows ought to be true, but his heart is still trembling beneath the weight of it.
One man is tempted to give up because the situation appears hopeless. The other presses on while speaking words of hope. Although Paul's despair and Jim's desperate determination are different in outward expression, both men are still in a storm of uncertainty. Paul may be emotionally overwhelmed, but Jim's continued motion does not necessarily mean he is spiritually settled.
This is a small chapter, but it continues the book's larger emphasis that perspective reveals belief. Paul's perspective is shaped by the apparent hopelessness of the search. Jim's perspective reaches toward God's sovereignty, but his desperate prayer shows that this truth has not yet fully settled into peaceful confidence. The chapter does not condemn either man. It simply shows two people under pressure, both trying to respond to uncertainty, both needing God's perspective to become more than words spoken in crisis.
Surface Reflections.
What part of the story captured your attention or interested you the most? What concept, question, or insight stood out most to you in this chapter? Which character's perspective or response did you find most relatable? What concept or insight seemed the most challenging for you? Plunging deeper. Number 1. Paul insisted they needed to be realistic, while Jim continued speaking words of hope. Can you identify a time when what you called being realistic was in conflict with what the Bible says is so? Why do our conclusions sometimes seem more realistic than God's perspective? If God's perspective is true and complete, isn't his view the most realistic one?
Number 2. Jim encouraged Paul to trust God's care, yet his private prayer, "Lord, don't make a liar out of me," revealed that his own heart was still unsettled. Have you ever sincerely spoken biblical truth to someone else, while inwardly struggling to rest in that same truth yourself? What did that experience reveal about the difference between knowing the truth intellectually and being persuaded of it? Have you ever received verbal encouragement from a well-meaning friend that seemed to fall flat, failing to offer any real hope? Why might this have been?
Number 3. Paul broke down while Jim kept searching, yet the chapter ultimately reveals that neither man's outward response accurately measured what was happening within his heart.
When facing uncertainty, do you typically stop and wait, or do you keep pressing forward? Is either response more spiritual or truth-based than the other? What might be a better alternative way to respond? Number 4. Think about a present uncertainty in your life. What conclusion currently determines how you experience that situation? If God persuaded your heart of his perspective, how might your experience of that circumstance change, even if the circumstance itself did not? Recall Samuel's discussion of Jesus and his disciples during the storm from the previous chapter. Island Insights. God is not swayed by our panic any more than he is impressed by our performance. He sees behind both our hopeless collapse and strong-willed determination. He knows when a person has given up because despair seems true, and he also knows when a person keeps going while his heart is still filled with fear and doubt. From God's perspective, the issue is not merely whether someone stops or presses forward. The deeper issue is why we do what we do. He looks at what we believe in our hearts. Paul's breakdown is easy to recognize because his fear and despair come out openly. Jim's struggle is less obvious because he speaks truth and keeps moving forward. Yet the peace of Christ is not measured by whether a person has the right words or continues the right activity. A person may quote truth, encourage others, keep serving, keep searching, and still be inwardly driven by fear rather than resting in persuasion. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." John 14:27. Paul also wrote, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," Colossians 3:15. This peace is not produced by pretending the crisis is smaller than it is, nor is it manufactured by pushing harder through fear. God is not interested in our ability to push aside our fears as we choose to do the right thing. He wants to persuade our hearts of the truth so that we can rightly perceive it and effortlessly walk it out. He desires for us to be persuaded of what is true, so that action flows from peace rather than panic.